Bring the court to order, please. Do we have anyone that would like to volunteer for our opening prayer this morning? Any volunteers? Jerry Lynn, if you would, that'd be great.
Father, we come before you today with prayer and thanksgiving. We thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you for this opportunity to gather. Father, watch over this court. Let the decisions that they make be beneficial in your eyes. Father, be with our men and women in law enforcement and the armed forces. Guide and protect them, and if it be your will, bring them home each evening safely. We ask all these things in our Savior Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. If you'll join me in our pledges to our United States and Texas flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Honor
the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to the state of Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Let the record reflect that all members of court are present with the exception of Commissioner Metter, who had a knee replacement yesterday, so please keep him in your thoughts and prayers as he recovers today. Just briefly, before we get started, I'd like to take just a quick moment to say thank you to so many of you that offered such an outpouring of support during the last month or so. It's been an interesting, very difficult time, but to the people that are here in this room, to many of our county employees and elected officials in this county and other counties around, thank you very much. Very much appreciated the concerns that you expressed for myself and my family. So thank you, each and every one. It's very good to be back. All right. Thank you very much. Commissioners, we need a motion to approve our Commissioners' Court agenda.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Commissioners, now I'd like to recess Commissioners' Court and convene our public hearing, our first public hearing for our budget this year. We have it scheduled for 9:30 this morning. So if there are any citizens today that would like to express any thoughts or concerns about our upcoming budget, this public meeting would now be the time to do that. So, Mr. Yalit, I know you have some concerns.
Judge Doyle and Commissioners.
Pick the microphone up here.
Thank you. Judge Doyle and Commissioners, my name is Eric Yalik. I live in Precinct 3. I also want to echo what you just said, Judge Doyle. It is really good to see you back doing your job. And what really bothered me about, you know, I was at the Commissioner's Court the day that the Judicial Conduct Commission, in the middle of a meeting, basically tried to embarrass you. And it was a real shame. And what it really brought to my mind is an event that occurred 801 years ago on basically the plains of Runnymede in what is now the United Kingdom, where a group of nobles got together and basically told the king, you just can't act without giving people fair notice of what's going to happen and the opportunity to be heard. And that's how we came to have the Magna Carta, which basically set up procedural due process. And Judge Doyle, I don't care what's going on in politics or someone's individual life, but you are entitled to due process. The reason I mentioned that in this budget hearing is because part of due process, very clearly, and there are other aspects besides fair notice and an opportunity to be heard, but while you were gone, I believe that the public was denied due process in what was referred to, and if I may just hand out a quick handout to the county clerk. There was what was supposed to be a public hearing before the commissioners beginning on July 25th with respect to the budget. A public hearing under Texas law, and I will cite the case of Udalli versus City of Colleyville, which is a Court of Appeals decision, 642 Southwest 2nd 75, a public hearing, as specifically noticed by the court, is an opportunity for the public to be invited to speak or be heard before the commission and council. And that pinpoint site is on page 77. What happened instead was that there were 3 days of hearings in a 5-day schedule. The commissioner's court, in your absence, did not permit any public comment. I know that I requested public comment. I know a group of people showed up at 1 o'clock on Wednesday, July 27th, to an empty room, and they were, all of us, were denied the right to have the opportunity to be heard. And the problem with it, Judge Doyle and commissioners, is that if this were just, you know, listening to county department heads present their wish list of how much money they want all of us to spend on them, that would be one thing. But what happened at the end of this so-called public hearing was that the commissioner's court actually took a vote on the budget and on the tax rate. And so without the opportunity to be heard, this commissioner's court tentatively, and I understand it's not a final approval, but it's still a vote by the commissioner's court, and I hope that the commissioner's court will not use that as precedent and will never do that again. Thank you for your time. Thank
you. Any comments to that, BD or JD? Any other questions or comments about our budget? Yes, sir, Mr. O'Sullivan.
Good morning. Welcome back.
Thank you.
A paid vacation given by a bunch of stupid people.
Not paid yet.
San Bernardino County, Orange County, Stockton, California. These are all areas of California going through bankruptcies. Areas which were formerly high growth, but because of the slowing of that growth, were not able to withstand the crushing burden of debt and benefits incurred because slowing was not part of the plan. We need to learn from that and start the plan now. We have already identified our mobility problem. Not solving it will accelerate the day for the slowing of our growth. We need to annually budget the same percentage for our road and bridge fund, but only using that fund to pay for mobility and other transportation-related projects. Items currently in that fund not fitting that purpose need to be given their own line item without reducing the percentage set aside for roads and bridges. That can be done annually with using the increased funds first and phasing out the non-mobility or transportation-related expenses now in the fund over 5 years or less. Benefits for new employees only. Institute a defined contribution plan, phasing out the defined benefit plan through attrition. Limit any sick pay bank to 20 days. Make sure overtime pay is not used in calculating retirement benefits. A real COLA. After retirement, only excess Medicare benefits will be purchased for employees. This is the beginning of eliminating the long liability tail of employee retirement benefits. Governments are the last to do this. We should begin now. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. O'Sullivan. Any other comments about the budget? Just a couple of brief comments on my part. I was not here for the actual budget process, but sat through the budget committee throughout the year, and there's a couple of things that I think are important that we point out about the existing budget that we have today. There's $13 million in that budget that's in a capital fund. The total increase of this budget this year was $22 million. $13 million of that could be removed with one strike of the pen, which I think would be irresponsible on our part. That $13 million is set aside for capital projects because we've heard the taxpayers say over and over and over, pay as you go, pay as you go, pay as you go. And in an effort to do that, we've set aside this capital fund because we've got a lot of large projects that we can't pay out of a single budget. So I think it's very responsible of this court to set aside that capital fund and move forward. We could reduce the budget increase to 3% by removing that $13 million, but I think that would be a bad move on the part of this court because it we do try to address those capital needs in the future by issuing debt, we not only have the issuance cost of the debt, but we have the interest that we have to pay on borrowed money. We're trying to work as on a pay-as-you-go basis. I think that's a good move on the part of the court. When you look at law enforcement, you know, it's recommended that there be 2.7 officers per 1,000 individuals. That would mean we would need about 1,500, almost 1,600 officers in Montgomery County today. We have about 700 right now. We are woefully behind, and the Sheriff's Department does a tremendous job in taking care of law enforcement in this county, even with their hands tied behind their back. And when you look at Montgomery County, that's over 80% unincorporated, where we don't have the advantage of a lot of fast-growing counties that have large cities within their boundaries to take care of law enforcement. Our Sheriff's Department, our Constable's Office do a tremendous job at a very reduced number. So we're way behind on law enforcement today. I can tell you that our commissioners, I know Commissioner Riley, for a fact, has over 800 miles of road in his precinct and can pave, what, Commissioner?
Maybe 30
miles of road a year. You do the math. He'll never, ever get caught up. None of these commissioners will ever get caught up simply on maintenance alone in the commissioner precincts that they are charged with maintaining. So we're far behind in that category, too. I've read comments on Facebook, very irresponsible comments on Facebook, about how we just tax and grab every bit of money we can and then figure out how we're going to spend it. We could double this budget and effectively spend every dollar that we get and still not meet the needs of this county. So I think our Commissioner's Court does a very good job at trying to manage that budget very properly. When you look at the percentage of your tax rate, and talking with Ms. McCray, and Ms. McCray's doing a great job as our new tax assessor collector, she indicated to me that 16% of the average tax bill is your county portion of the tax. Only 16%, which means if we cut this budget, if we cut our tax rate by 10%, if we cut 5 cents off of our tax rate, that would mean a 1.6% differential in your overall tax bill. And if we cut our budget by 10% and we're way behind on sheriff deputies now and we're way behind on roads now, how much further would we be behind? Because the catch-up is much more expensive than the keep-up. And we're not keeping up as it is today, but we're trying the best that we can. When you look at what is spent across this, at all the entities around us, think about this. The federal level, we spend $12,100 per capita annually to fund our federal government. The state of Texas spends $3,800 per capita annually to fund state government. The city of Conroe spends $2,300 per capita annually to fund their operations. The Woodlands Township spends approximately $1,100 per capita annually to fund their operation. CISD spends about $9,500 per student to fund CISD's budget. At the county level, we spend $600 per capita annually to fund your county government. That's $50 per person per month to fund our operation. I want you to think about what you can get for $50 a month. You can't get a cell phone for $50 a month. You can't get cable TV with internet access. You can't get water, sewer, and garbage pickup. You can't get a gym membership for $50 a month. But for $50 a month in your county taxes, what you do get is the seventh largest sheriff's department in the state of Texas, 5 JPs, 5 constables, 5 county courts at law, 7 district courts, and their associated judges, county attorney, district attorney, county clerk, the district clerk, adult and juvenile probation, veteran services, animal control, mosquito control, the convention and expo center, airport, libraries, parks, our road and bridge department, debt service on the debt that we carry, and a balanced budget every single year for $50 per person per month. I think this is a good, solid budget, and some of the comments that I've read out there are irresponsible, because I will compare our operations and our efficiency to any other entity in this county anytime. So, Commissioners, I think you've done a great job, and I appreciate what you did on the budget this year. So,
Judge, I'd like to... I'd like to thank you for those comments and just echo that I agree with everything you just said. I think that each of us on this court, there may be times when we don't get along or we don't see an issue the same way, but as we come together for the budgeting process, I think we all try to put our best foot forward and do the best work we can for this county. And just like you said, there's so many times we hear we got to pay as we go, we got to cover this, these expenses with monies that we have on hand. We put $13 million away this year, $13 million away last year. We also put an additional $13 million into retiring debt service that was not mentioned. All these things, we could pull that out. We could lower the tax rate, but then we have this $220 million of voter-approved debt that has been authorized but not issued. It's going to affect the tax rate. And I think that we have taken some prudent steps in managing the process of the budget. I hope that we continue to do that going forward. So thanks for your comments.
Any other comments on budget today? Great. All right. We will now adjourn this. I'm sorry. We need to, Commissioners, item number three. We need to set a time and place and date for this body to meet again to hear our second public hearing on the budget, and that recommended date is August the 23rd at 9:30 a.m., and to set a time and date to vote on the tax rate, and that recommended date is September 6th at 9 a.m. prior to the tax sale in this room. So, Commissioners, I would entertain a motion.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Now, we will adjourn this budget hearing and reconvene our Commissioners' Court meeting. Under item 7A, consider and approve Commissioners' Court minutes from the regular session dated July 25th, 2016.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Commissioners, I don't have any changes on the consent agenda. If there's no changes that either any of you have, then I would entertain a motion to approve our consent agenda.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Okay. Item number 10. Oh, excuse me, citizens. Do we have any citizens that would like to address the court today on an item that's on today's agenda? Y'all, like, I see you're signed up for 10 and 11, but I think if you've already had... Okay. Any others that are signed up for items on today's agenda? So, yes, sir. Yes, sir. What is it? Is this an item that's on today's agenda?
I'm not sure, Judge. I've never been here before.
Okay.
The other day,
okay.
I was with a lady, and she said, "Put my name down on a piece of paper to speak."
Okay. Is this about the drainage issue?
Yes, sir.
Okay. That we'll hear that. We'll have public comment again at the end of this agenda,
okay.
And it'll be time. We'll make time for that at that point.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Any other comments, Mr. O'Sullivan?
This is on the entire discussion on the pay raise. The 27th constitutional amendment was sent for ratification with the original 10 amendments or Bill of Rights. It was ratified 203 years later. It shows how wise our founders were, and to ignore doing the same for Montgomery County, how foolish we would be. This makes the elected officials who voted to give themselves a raise run on that vote and win in order to get it. Amendment 27, no law varying the compensation for the services of the senators and representatives shall take effect until the election of representatives shall have intervened. Because of the reality and the importance of the primary in Montgomery County, I suggest the following wording. No law varying the compensation for the services of the members of Commissioners' Court shall take effect until the primary and general election of affected court members shall have intervened. Additionally, since 2010, the COLA for Social Security has averaged 1.1%, a little greater than one-third of the 3% we were using, which may have come from a Ouija board. The Social Security COLA for 2017 is 0.3%, or 10 times the number we last used. If there is a COLA adjustment, it needs to be justified as to the credibility of its source. The Social Security COLA is fine to me. Additionally, the amount of the COLA increase needs to be capped. It is determined by the variance of price from year to year for a defined market basket of goods and services. The maximum amount any employee should receive is the COLA amount for the average county employee. I am not particularly persuaded by using a recruiting argument for court members having higher than current salary, as that would imply that the current salary attracted inferior court members who would need to resign. I'm not partial to say, well, we got to have higher salaries so we get better people. Well, basically you're saying that the salary we have now is attracting inferior people, and that isn't fair. So at any rate, I would like to see some sort of a pause before a rate increase, which you get to vote for yourself, take place through a primary and an election. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. O'Sullivan. I saw, ma'am, did you have a comment? Yes. If you'd step forward and state your name and your comments, please. It's okay. It's okay. And for any of you that have not been here before, we would prefer that you sign up, but if you did not, certainly now is the time. If you have an item that's on today's agenda, to address that issue.
I'm sorry. I'm Nancy Shaddix. I live on a street, Horseshoe Bend, in Big Bend Estates. The case that is on the agenda is the very last item on the last page, Montgomery County against Arturo Silva. He's brought in about 250 loads of dirt. He's in the floodplain and floodway. Our property got flooded. We are not, our property, we have 10 acres. Our property got flooded in 2012. We immediately contacted the county, and they didn't file any charges against him until 2014. When 2014, they changed some parameters. And so now things have changed where he's sort of legally brought in all this dirt. And now since 2014, we've been flooded two more times. We have a barn structure that now, this in May, we know that was a 500-year flood. We got 23 inches of rain in our barn. In April, we got 17 inches. In 2012, we got, I think, 13 inches. We lost livestock in May. Every time it rains, we're just in fear of everything. I mean, every time it rains, we put everything on the trailer. We've made modifications in our barn and stuff. I mean, it's just a nuisance. Since 2012, he has not come back to his premises except to, like, mow the pasture. He does that about every 5 or 6 months. He claims it is his homestead, but yet he's not spent a night there. He has a little structure that he put there in the floodway, which seems strange. But he's built his property so much, he doesn't flood at all. He's got a engineer report. He satisfied all the, according to the new regulations, he satisfied everything. And his engineer report says, you know, that he's certified and he's not going to flood and everything. It's just all his neighbors do. And according to the statutes and stuff, I thought part of the thing is that he doesn't flood and cause an impact on other people. Well, we flood, the neighbors flood. I mean, other people couldn't even get to their houses in the neighborhood. I mean, it's really bad. Other people, it affects their sewers. It affects, I mean, we have one person she's a veterinarian, and she's scrambling getting papers out of one room of her house. Right? Her house is even going to flood. Thank goodness our house is built way up, so it doesn't flood our house yet. But I think it's come, actually in the May flood, we were out of town, and so we don't know how close it got to our house. But I talked extensively to B.D. Griffin yesterday, and he said, according to all the, and I mean, he was very gracious and talked to me unannounced. I went in yesterday, and he's met all the requirements. I mean, there's no doubt that he's met the requirements, but what can we do other than just bring him to civil court? I mean, according to the statutes and regulations, this is going to be dismissed. But what he's doing to the neighborhood and to the neighbors is very unfair, because according to the law, he's okay. But if we had done this prior to 2014, he wouldn't have been able to have done this.
You've been in contact with
him? I've been in contact with him. My husband has extensive, I mean, communication with them and stuff. We tried to get the ball rolling in 2012.
Yeah, we've exceeded that, and I apologize. We have a 3-minute time limit. Exceeded. But I tell you what, if you would get with BD after court, you know, we always direct people to the different department heads.
Well,
I should have read that notice this morning. But
we
get with BD, and we have an action. We have an item actually on executive session today, BD, to discuss that.
So we don't know if there's other
alternatives. Have you met with Dan Wiles out of the engineer's office?
That was in yesterday's meeting.
I met with him extensively, and I know he's met all the requirements.
We're in public comments. We can't get into a lot of discussion here. Mr. Attorney.
We have this item on executive session. Is there some things that I do need to speak to you about in executive session? After that, we can come out and have a further discussion.
Okay, in open court, okay. If you'll stay till the end of court, we'll have a little bit further discussion later in the agenda.
Okay.
Thank you, Ms. Cattis.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for your comments. Anyone else who would like to address court today on an item that's on today's agenda?
It's the same thing.
It's a, yours is a drainage issue?
It's not on
this agenda, though? We'll get back to it, it won't take very long, we'll get back to it in just a little bit. All right, any other comments? Seeing none, we're going to move forward then, okay. Item 10A, consider and accept the elected official salary study. Ms. Bass is here today, Diane.
Good morning, Judge and Commissioners.
Morning.
And I agree, it's nice to see you back up there.
Thank you very much.
Jim Beathard, Tom Grayson, Chris Hines, and I are here today as your representatives to the Citizen Salary Committee, sitting right back there.
Thank you.
You appointed us on May 24th to recommend whether or not elected officials should receive a pay increase over and above any cost of living adjustment given to employees. Even before we had our first meeting, we were criticized in print and in online comments as being slimy and pick-a-pal designees, terms that discourage good citizens from dedicating their time and effort to serve the county. I can assure you that our methodology and actions demonstrate that we acted in a professional manner and that we based our recommendation on the extensive research we conducted. I told each of you on the day we were appointed that we would be fair, and I think we have been. Although we come from different professional backgrounds, those of us who attended the committee meetings have been in agreement every step of the way in making this recommendation. We finalized our report after our last meeting on July 15th, notified each member of the court of our recommendation by phone on or before Monday, July 18th, and a copy of the report was delivered to the county judge's office on Monday, July 18th. In order to make a recommendation, it was necessary for us to select a group of similar counties to see what their elected officials are being paid. Those counties are Brazoria, Collin, Denton, Fort Bend, Galveston, Jefferson, and Williamson. Once we calculated where Montgomery County salaries fall relative to those paid by other counties, we contacted each of our elected officials and invited them to submit a statement to explain why a higher-than-average salary might be justified. That is, are they performing duties that their counterparts in other counties don't perform? Very few responded, but the statements of those who did are either summarized or included in their entirety. Of the eight counties in the study, Montgomery County has the highest percentage of population living in unincorporated areas, 81.8%. The county most similar to ours in that regard is Fort Bend County, another very fast-growing county, at 56%. We believe that the large percentage of unincorporated square miles and population living in unincorporated areas severely increases the demand for services placed on county resources, especially for law enforcement personnel, our county judge, and our commissioners. We would agree that it is conceivable that those individuals' jobs are more demanding than those of their counterparts in the comparison counties. We are thankful that we have good leaders who are addressing our current and future needs. This is one reason why our county is part of one of the fastest growing areas in the United States. Even so, when you remove the compensation paid to the district attorney and the district judges, all of whom are state employees and receive only a supplement from the county, all elected officials are paid 11% up to 52% over averages paid by the other counties surveyed. Some of our elected official salaries include a stipend for auto expense, but in cases where other counties had a set amount for auto expenses, we added that into their compensation. One possible explanation for higher salaries may be the cost of living adjustments, or COLAs. It is our understanding that Montgomery County has awarded the employees and elected officials an annual 3% cost of living adjustment, or COLA, for the past few years. According to businessdictionary.com, the actual definition of a COLA, or cost of living adjustment, is a periodic increase in wages or salaries to compensate for loss in purchasing power of money due to inflation. The rate of the COLA is commonly pegged to a general index such as the Consumer Price Index, also called Cost of Living Allowance. And looking at the CPI for the last 5 years, starting at 2011, the increases have ranged from 0.1% to 3.2%. Social Security COLAs for the same years have ranged from 0 to 3.6%. Figures provided by Texas Workforce Solutions, what used to be called the Texas Employment Commission, reflect average increases in compensation for Montgomery County residents during the same period of time, range from -1.5% to 8.6%. What Montgomery County Commissioners Court has been calling COLAs are actually salary increases not tied to any economic factor, but largely determined by the budget's capacity. Based on our analysis of the data collected, we recommend that the salary of each Montgomery County elected official remain at its current level for the next fiscal year, and we encourage a review of elected official salaries on an annual basis.
And thank you for your report. I read some of the comments early on about the pick-a-pal idea. And were you influenced or encouraged by any member of this court in your operation at all?
Not at all.
Or any of the other members, did you feel any pressure or undue? I think that some people that made those comments, in particular an elected official, Mr. John McMullen in the Woodlands, who made those comments and criticized this court and this body of citizens who volunteered to do this work, owe you an apology, quite frankly.
As does Mr. Yalik.
As does anyone who's made those comments.
Chris, would you mind holding your hand up?
I never
met Chris Hines. He was recommended as a upstanding gentleman. I had a brief conversation over the phone with him, and I couldn't have picked him out of the three gentlemen that were over there. So, I mean, to say that I handpicked someone is...
Yeah. These gentlemen were just invaluable in this, and we worked together very well.
You've evidently put a lot of work into coming up with the information.
Well, if you look at all the charts, and hopefully some of this can be looked at. I mean, the JPs, the commissioners, the ones with unit systems versus not, and right. We've tried to address all of that.
Dan, did you put this together?
Yes.
I don't see Commissioner Nowak's appointee on here.
Commissioner Nowak was in Colorado for the summer.
Appointee.
I mean, excuse me.
I'd have liked to have been there all summer.
I'm sorry. Commissioner Nowak's appointee was in Colorado for the summer. He and I talked on the phone. We emailed back and forth. I thought that it would work out with him as a committee, but in the end, he did not agree with our recommendation, and so he asked that his name be removed from the report.
Well, I think if somebody sitting up on this court is asked to participate, he needs to be listed here, and maybe just put on there that he did not participate. I really think he needs to be on here. Because if we do this every year, we need to know what happened in the past.
Well, I think it's up to the citizens if they pull themselves out of the committee. I don't think there's any reason for their name to be on a report.
Well, since he didn't attend any meetings.
We still need to know what happened, and we won't remember this. There's a chance we won't remember what happened.
I can let you borrow my pen. You can write his name on your copy if you'd like.
That's not what I'm saying.
Diane, I appreciate the efforts you put forth.
Thank you
your
so
recommendation
much.
Was that there be no raises for elected officials this year.
Correct.
Amy, is it my understanding that the filing for a grievance is today, yesterday. So we can't take action on that going forward this year, but I think in the next budget we need to make sure we take into account this committee's report. I wish it had been here earlier, and I wasn't here to take care of that. I think it's important to note that not any elected official requested a raise this year. Only one requested one last year, and Commissioner Nowak, if you'll recall, you told me that you wanted the 10% increase on the proposed agenda, and if I didn't put it on there, you planned to file a grievance.
No, I don't remember saying I filed a grievance, but I believe that...
I've got a witness if you don't remember, but that's okay. But, and you said, and if the people don't like that, they can blame you. So Diane, I appreciate the effort that you put forward in looking into this, and I think this information going forward will be critical to us as we look at elected official salaries.
Thank you. Does anybody else on my committee?
Stand up and be recognized, please.
Please, yes. Thank you all for your hard work.
Chris Hines, Jim Bethard, Tom Grayson.
Thank you.
Thank you, Diane.
Thank you.
But don't call me next year, please.
No good deed goes unpunished, Diane. Okay, under County Clerk... we have a motion to accept this report.
Move.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Under County Clerk, we have to draw names for those who will hear a grievance for any elected official that does file a grievance. And so what do we need, Amy? Three?
We're going to go ahead and draw, and
okay.
Okay. Six of those are statutory, and three will be from the public. And Amber has those. Do you have those, Judge?
And these are former grand jury members?
Yes, the procedure laid out in statute.
Okay. First name is Susan Nevada. Second name is James McLeod. And the third one is Uranus LeBron.
So those will be our three primary members, and now if you'll draw three alternates, Judge.
Okay, the first one is Sean Diamond, Joaquin Quick, and Karen B. Rice, R-E-I-S-Z.
Thank you, Judge.
Do you want to keep these?
I'll go.
Those are the primary members. Okay. Item 12, DWI Court.
Good morning. Asking you to please consider and approve the funding for drug court through the end of fiscal year 16 in the amount of $100,000. Transfer $50,000 from 46521.7419 to 46521.7419. Please name a funding source for the remaining balance.
Do we have a motion?
Second.
Questions or comments? These are all actual hard drug testing costs that you have incurred.
Because of the grant? Not going.
So there are a couple of things associated with this. The first one is the reason she's asking to move money from one line to another is because they're two separate grants. The first one is the drug court and the second one's the DWI court. She has funding in the DWI court that she believes would be in excess, and so she'd like to move it to drug court, and so that's why that's on there. The remaining balance, I believe you could recognize, we anticipated a grant in the amount of $84,000. What we got was a grant in the amount of $98,000. So for both of those programs, you did receive a little bit more money as well as more program fees than you had thought you would. And if you would allow us to recognize that revenue, we don't believe you would need to name any other funding source for this difference.
Perfect.
Just in an aside, we did receive notice since the last commissioner's court date, which was the budget hearings, that these grants were denied for next year with no explanation for why from the state. These are programs that are mandated in statute. We're required to have them. Traditionally, the state has provided some grant funding to help offset the costs of those programs, and for whatever reason this year, they have denied it. They told us we are not the only county that's been the case for. They did encourage us to apply in future years, but whenever we bring you the budget in print, it will have that change in it, and I just want y'all to know that today.
Or unfunded mandate.
And it always has been partially unfunded. It's now become, for this upcoming year at least, completely unfunded.
Okay. So if we recognize those revenues, then we're covered.
I believe that will cover for this particular item, yes, sir.
Perfect. Commissioner, would you amend that Motion to consider that.
Yeah.
Contingency?
No, out of the recognized revenue.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh, out of this revenue.
The grants and the program fees that have already come in, and we expect to be sufficient through the remainder of the year.
Okay, I got you. Good.
Okay, thank you very much.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you. Elections.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm asking you to please consider and approve the order of election for the November 8th, 2016 general election.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thanks, Mr. Sergeant.
Thank you.
Forensic Science. Good morning. Glad to have you with us this morning.
Thank you.
Good to see you.
Thank you. Good morning, Judge and Commissioners. I wanted to come and introduce myself to the court and tell you how excited I am to be here. Your foresight into the need to convert to a medical examiner system is very commendable, and I'd like to thank you for offering me and trusting me this, with this job. My vision is to design and develop a quality-oriented, accredited medical examiner's office for the citizens of Harris County, Montgomery County, sorry. Can you tell where I came from? with toxicology, DNA, death investigation, and forensic pathology services. Thanks to the efforts of those that came before me, I have a very good foundation to build on, and your support throughout this process is vital to its success, and I look forward to working with you. That said, I do have one action item to please consider and approve the addition of a temporary position for the Forensic Services Department to commence on August 15, 2016. This position would be for a forensic lab technician, and the salary for this position would be $20.69 per hour and shall be funded through attrition.
We have a motion.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Dr. Pineri, we are really glad to have you here. I will tell you that through the interview process with our district attorney's office, along with representatives from the defense bar, Dr. Pineri kind of blew everybody away. And I was really impressed with your credentials and your ability to answer the questions in a very detailed manner. So we're really excited to have you here and to help us grow this facility into an operation that we can be proud of at a very professional level. So welcome to Montgomery County.
Thank you very much. I'm excited to be here.
Thank you. Lone Star Convention Center.
Good morning, Judge, Commissioners.
Morning. How are you?
I would like for you to consider and approve the use of capital improvement funding for fiscal year 2016, the amount not to exceed $175,506 for flooring and partitions in the Lone Star Convention Center as discussed during the FY 2017 budget workshop, and authorize any carryovers necessary to complete the project.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Carries.
Thank you. Purchasing.
Thank you, John.
Good morning, Judge and Commissioners.
Good morning.
16A, take all appropriate action to approve the contract negotiation process with the highest evaluated respondent, Fairweather Group, LLC, for RFQ design build for North Montgomery County Recycling Facility for Precinct 1.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries.
B, take all appropriate action to approve granting a discretionary exemption for a professional service as authorized by Local Government Code 262.024A4 for engineering services for Woodlands Parkway widening from LJA Engineering, Inc. in the amount of $174,950 for Precinct 3.
Move.
Do we have a second?
I'm sorry.
Is that a second, Commissioner?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Item C, take all appropriate action to approve the award for demolition and site clearing of homes to Nash Industry, Inc. in the amount of $126,602.54 for Precinct 3.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you, Darlene. We now need to recess our Commissioner's Court and convene our public hearing, first in Precinct 1. BD, you want to take those?
Morning, Judge, Commissioners. Under item 17A, consider and approve a partial revision of lots 2, 3, and 4, and 5, block 1 of Bentwater, section 60, to be known as Bentwater, section 60, replat number 1. Basically a combination of lots, I believe. We have a letter of no objection from the HOA.
Is there anyone here to discuss that? I see no one. Item 2.
17A2, consider and approve partial revision of portion of lots 7 and 8, Rancho Escondido, to be known as Rancho Escondido, partial replat number 1. We also have no objections from the POA. And it's combining partial portions of two lots.
Okay. Is there anyone here to discuss this issue? I see none. Okay. Precinct 2. Thank you, BD.
Consider and approve partial revision of lot 32, block 3 of Dogwood Hill, section 3, to be known as Dogwood Hills, section 3, partial replat number 1. Anyone here to discuss that? See none.
None. Okay. Precinct 3.
Consider and approve establishing no parking, no stopping, no standing Monday through Friday, 7:15 a.m. to 8:30 a.m. and 2:45 p.m. to 3:45 p.m. on both sides of Spring Trails Bend, 700 feet north of Spring Trails Park Drive, and on the north side of Spring Trails Bend, 500 feet west of Spring Trails Park Drive. Any public comment? There's none, Judge.
None. Precinct 4.
Consider and approve partial revision of part of lot 47 of Shady Dale Subdivision, to be known as Splendora DTP Edition. Anyone here to discuss that?
No comments there. Okay. Now I need to adjourn our public hearing and reconvene Commissioner's Court to take action on the above items. Are all of them action items, or is any of them notifications?
No, they're not all action items. You would need to take action on, I believe, just the Precinct 3 item. The others are plats that are later on in the agenda
in the process,
or are not
okay.
Quite ready.
Okay.
All right, Judge, I move that we move on Precinct 3, C1.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. County Engineer. Mr. Mooney.
Judge, those two items are the plats that you just approved in the public hearing.
Okay. So they're ready. Okay.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Okay, under Commissioners, Precinct 1.
You want to just as stated on agenda?
Yeah, just as stated on agenda.
Move.
Have a motion?
Move.
Second.
Second. These are all items that I think were discussed in the budget hearing. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Same thing, position changes as noted on the agenda. Move.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Human Resources, consider the payroll changes. Dodie.
Good morning. Please consider and approve the payroll change request forms.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you.
Okay. Under Article 551.071, we now need to recess our Commissioner's Court for executive session, and we'll return as soon as we get completed with the executive session. Let's bring court back to order, please. Coming out of executive session, we have three items. On item A, Commissioners, yes. We need a motion and for a resolution in order to incur expenses on claim number U-16-0059.
Move.
Second.
And we will also need you to name a funding source on that.
Precinct 2.
Precinct 2. Commissioner's budget is a funding source.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Item B. Commissioners need a motion for a resolution in order to incur expenses on claim number U-16-0069. Do we need a funding source on that one as well?
That's mentioned. That's funded out of risk management. Okay. It's mentioned in the resolution order.
Move.
Second. Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Then under C, Judge, We'd ask court to consider and discuss and authorize the non-suit of this lawsuit. We'd filed this lawsuit, I believe, in 2013, actually, and it was the lawsuit about that Ms. Shattuck's address. Filed in 2013, I believe, initially. Then what happened, and at that point, we filed to enforce our floodplain regulations because of unauthorized and unpermitted movement of dirt and structure into the floodway and floodplain. In July of 2014, the flood FEMA changed the flood maps, and the structures and the fill all were outside of the floodway. Therefore, we requested at that point that he comply with the regulations for the floodplain, and he has recently complied, substantially complied with that. And since when we filed these suits, we looked to the county's interest in enforcing its floodplain regulations and maintaining its participation in the National Flood Insurance Program. To that end, we've achieved that, and that's all we can really achieve in this court.
So our only authority is to make them comply with the floodplain requirements, and they've done.
Yes, essentially, yes.
But there is still an option for a civil remedy for the Shattucks if they wanted to pursue some kind of a lawsuit against the neighbor.
Yes, there's always a private right of action under the water code, and the proof for complying with floodplain regulations, and even if he complies and certifications, does not preclude a lawsuit to show that he's causing some flooding on other properties. It's just that it's not, in our opinion, appropriate to expend county money going further than seeking compliance with floodplain regulation.
Okay.
And it would require substantial expense in getting additional experts, topographical surveys, hydrologists, things such as that.
Okay. We got a motion.
I move it.
All in favor?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Okay. Now, sorry, Mr. Clausen, but now you're it's the point in our agenda where we recognize anyone who would like to make a comment on an item that is not on today's agenda. I would remind the public that items that are not on today's agenda, please state your name and topic of your comment before beginning your remarks. Public comment may not exceed 3 minutes, and questions or concerns about the operations of Montgomery County programs may be referred to the department heads or elected officials. Texas Open Meetings Law prevents the court from deliberating or taking action on matters raised in public comments, and we will now entertain those comments. So, Mr. Clausen.
The clock already started?
On your mark.
Okay. Paul Krause on Precinct 4 with Jim Clark, and the reason I wanted to come here was we want the water to go away. And I know when it comes that there's different, we've done some background looking in why we have water that we didn't have for the last 40, 50, 60 years in our neighborhood. And so we had some neighborhood meetings, and I discovered that we have a commissioner, and we have some, they do some things that, and so we invited him to come to our meeting and try to keep it civil as well. We're trying to present enough information so that we can try to figure out how to fix the problem before it gets worse, because the water flows downhill and the river didn't come up to us, even though we're pretty close to the river. The river didn't come, but recent development in the last several years slowed the water flow down to where our houses flooded and our streets flooded. And so that was several years ago, and then just recently, about 2 years ago, we went to our a neighbor about the problem because he was building up, and we discovered he was covering creeks up as well, and wasn't getting permits or engineering studies or anything like that to do that. And so we brought that to his attention. He obviously knew it because he was putting in culverts and such, but it wasn't, we were flooding. So we were flooding, and that was the only place it was to go before. We've been presenting a lot of information like that to in our meetings and such, and didn't know that we could we see an avenue now. We heard Jim say that we could, the county would do a study of our situation. And so we're waiting for that. I didn't know it existed until about 2 weeks ago. I just went to his office in New Caney and saw with my eyes as a study that has addresses and such, and you know, there is a study out there looking at our situation. So we're
good.
hopefully optimistic that would be a problem fixed. But my question, we want to know, and we'd like that to happen and eventually be shovels in the ground to fix the problem. Do these studies cost money?
Yes, they do.
Is it appropriate to know how much that study costs?
I can get that for you. I couldn't tell you exactly now.
Okay.
I'd be glad to talk to you after court. Or
yeah, that'd be great.
Okay.
Why don't y'all get together after court, sure, along with Mr. Mooney? Is the engineer's office doing
okay? I have several of my neighbors that came with me. I don't know if any of them wanted to speak or not, but combined with all we have about, we have over 1,000 years of residents of these people. If you add everybody up that's lived out here for 40, 50, 60 years, and we just need to, we want the water to go away,
going down the road,
back to where it was before.
Mr. Clausen, I
apologize. And better for everybody.
Yeah, sure. Your time limit's expired, but I would encourage you to get with Commissioner Clark after the meeting, and then y'all can get some things worked out.
It's a little frustrating that I had to go find out that there was a study for our neighborhood. He told me we would do something, would do that, but actually knowing that there really was, that was a little frustrating last week. So we decided we're not going to have neighborhood meetings. We're going to come here.
Awesome. Thank you, Mr. Clark.
Thank you
for your comments today. All right. Is there anyone else that would like to address? Mr. Yawley.
My name is Eric Yawley. I live in Precinct 3. Long time no see. Who is John Gault? He is not Todd Hayden, DVM. I've had the opportunity to watch Dr. Hayden from afar. I do not know him personally, although I just had a nice conversation with him in the courtroom. However, Judge Doyle and commissioners, I watched Dr. Hayden's presentation on July 27th during the budget hearing. And there were aspects of that I found very troubling that I would actually go to the point of saying that they were vulgar and profane. Now, I'm not referring to his use of profane words or vulgar words. I'm a big boy. I've been to George Carlin shows live myself, and so that's not what I'm referring to. What bothered me about Dr. Hayden was that I found his approach to spending public money vulgar and profane. Now, I said to Dr. Hayden, and I really mean this, I'm not saying this is a personal attack on him. I have tried to find Dr. Hayden personally to meet with him, and I intend to follow up and try to do that again. I think Dr. Hayden, from what I have read about him, from what I have heard about him, primarily from my friend Commissioner Clark, I've heard some very positive things about Dr. Hayden. My concern, though, is that when he is handling public money as basically the head of a county department, the animal shelter, he needs to be much more restrictive and much more careful about both the way that he spends money and the way that he budgets money. The Commissioner's Court has tentatively approved a $3.4 million budget for the animal shelter, which is a 140% increase. In other words, you'd be spending 240% next year of what you're spending this year on the shelter, or at least what you budgeted this year. The problem with that is that I don't think that the animal shelter, the court, or Dr. Hayden in particular have really looked at how do you achieve the goals of this program the most cost effectively. And if you look at Dr. Hayden's presentation from July 27th, it just had the appearance that he was almost playing with county dollars. He asked for $100,000 to be budgeted for someone. He said that I think that person had been paid $60,000, and then he was willing to compromise at $80,000. Well, a differential between $60,000 and $80,000 is $20,000. In my book, that's a lot of money. And I hope that Dr. Hayden will take the approach that money should not be spent unless it is absolutely necessary, because he is dealing with public money. And I want to make it clear, though, to the commissioners and Judge Doyle and Dr. Hayden in particular, I want to work with Dr. Hayden. I hope that he will try his best. My impression is that he is working very hard at the animal shelter to try and make it a better place. But I think that he needs to really work on trying to understand who is John Galt. Thank you.
Thank you, Eric. Mr. Yali. Any other comments on an item not on today's agenda?
Is Ms. Billing here?
Jalen Billing. I have Jalen Billing that signed up to speak. Ms. Billing. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, Commissioners. I am in James Noack's precinct. My name is Jalen Billig, and I'm here this morning to address specifically Jim Clark's behavior at the last Commissioner's Court. Mr. Clark, your outburst was unprofessional, childish, and very disgraceful to our county. We're very lucky it didn't get picked up nationally and spread as an embarrassment to our community. Now, regardless of what the issue is, when you speak like that, you are insulting every person involved with the project, including me. You owe all of your constituents the basic respect and dignity befitting members of this community. You owe me and everyone else an apology for that behavior. When you enter this court, you represent our government, just as I represent our citizenry when I stand at this podium. I'm not one person, I am thousands. And you would do well to remember that and to treat us with the consideration due your position. Now, if you cannot control yourself in public, now I'm sorry, public life is probably not for you. Now, I hope you understand me. I'm telling you as a certified public accountant, a local business owner, a member of the Chamber of Commerce, and a volunteer, and an adult human being, I don't want you ever to speak to or about the citizens of Montgomery like that again. And that's all I'm going to say on the matter. Thank you.
Any other comments of not concerning today's agenda today?
I don't have any more.
All right. Any other miscellaneous items, Commissioners? I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Move.
Second. All in favor? We're adjourned.